Today's episode is with Roz Isbell. So Roz and I met through the magic of B-School. Roz had a sick mother at the time and she was looking for a mobile hairdresser. And my cousin happened to be a mobile hairdresser. I hooked them up and they really hit it off. And sadly, Roz's mum passed away, but she was really grateful for my cousin, who's like a ray of sunshine. And as a thank you, she wanted to gift me a human design reading. Now, I had heard of human design before, but I'd never really dove into it until then. And I got my chart and I just started researching and reading and listening to podcasts and doing all the things that I do when I get obsessed with something. And then I had this reading with Roz and it was mind-blowing. It really changed the way that I show up in the world and how I feel about myself. It made me feel incredibly seen. Now, human design is not a cult. it's not an MLM, just saying, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not. It is just a tool that I have in my toolbox now. That really was very life-changing and I wanted to share it with all of you. So I'm going to dive straight into this conversation with Roz. It's a different format. I am potentially moving away from the stories behind success that we've been doing and just diving into having really incredible conversations, sharing some things that I'm really passionate about, and human design is definitely one of them. So let's dive in. And just quickly, before we dive in, if you check the show notes, there are a number of links there. There'll be a link to get your own chart done, your own human design chart done. It's free. There'll be a link for you to get a downloadable PDF from Roz that outlines a little bit about all the five major personality types, I guess you would call them. And there'll be a link to a GoFund. Later in the conversation, we speak about a really good friend of mine who sadly has a little boy just weeks younger than Mabel, who about 6 months ago was diagnosed with a really rare form of childhood cancer and is looking to raise money to go to the US. They've been accepted for a trial over there, but they need to raise about Australian $250,000 to $300,000 to get him over there. I really want to make it happen. If you have spare change, I would so appreciate you donating to this cause. So you'll also find that link in the show notes. And Roz is very generously going to donate 20% of any reading from a Carlos of his listener directly to Ryder, who is the little boy. So if you want more details on booking the session with Roz or with donating to Ryder's journey, please check the show notes and there'll be links and more information there. All right, before I start crying, I'm just going to dive straight in. Meet Roz Isbell. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
I got introduced to human design by a friend, somebody who was into it and had been doing a little bit of learning about what it could do for them from a business perspective. And she passed it on to me and I looked at it and I thought, oh, I don't know, this is all a bit weird and wacky. And, oh, yes, I'm a manifesting generator. What does that mean? There's all these lines and squiggles and numbers and things on this piece of paper. Okay, fine. And then about 3 months later, it came into my world again. She actually came into my world again and she mentioned it again and I pulled it up again and I looked at it and I don't know. It was obviously a matter of timing because it hooked me and it seriously has not let me go since. I have never, ever been as involved with something as I have with this modality. It's crazy. It's like the last 2 and a bit years of my life have been eating, breathing, almost sleeping human design because I'm just I'm besotted with it. And it explains so much for me personally. It's helped me personally in so many ways. But I'm one of these people that always has to help other people. You know, I'm a helper. I'm an enabler. And, I mean, that shows up in my chart, which is affirming. But it also helps me to do what it is that I love doing, because whenever somebody says to me that they're having an issue with their child, or, you know, they can't get their head around something, I'll look at their chart and I'll say, well, that's because of this, and that's actually what's meant to happen for you. Or, you know, why don't you try this, because you've got this part of your chart defined. So for me, it's just been it's just part of who I am now. It's part of my life, and I can't ever see a time. Even though part of my definition says that I am supposed to have several different careers, or it's entirely appropriate for my career to take several different paths, I know human design is always going to be a massive part of it from here on in, because it's just in me at a cellular level.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? Because I think, like, I had done my chart, had it, you know, done just on a online thing where you plug in your details and it comes out, probably a few years ago, and it just meant nothing to me at the time. It was like, oh yeah, I'm a projector. Oh, okay. And it was just another personality test, really, at the time. And then you came to me and had said, are you interested in having a reading? And I was like, I'm always interested in exploring new ways of doing things. And so I booked in a time and I went off on my own little journey, as I have a tendency to do, to get totally consumed with this thing called human design. And I had another look at my chart, and then went and did all Google searches and listened to podcasts and just totally immersed myself in figuring this thing out. I felt just completely seen, mm-hmm. probably for the first time in my life. It was like, oh, this makes so much sense. Like, it just feels like it is who I am.
The accuracy of it is just, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and I feel like it lets you off the hook a little bit too, right? Like for me,
totally.
Like when you were saying before about how friends might be having trouble with their kids, and then they, you know, you mentioned that it's because of this part in their chart or this part of their chart, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, then it's not me. It's not something necessarily that I'm doing wrong. It just lets you off the hook, because we have such an ability to hang ourselves on the hook all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this just lets you off a bit.
It shows you who you are. It shows you who you signed up to be. You know, before you even came here, it tells you what you were thinking prior to, you know, making the decision to come here. And that is so amazingly empowering. Once you have the information, you realize just how empowering it is, because it's not even like there's no choice. It's like you made the choice. And to know that is powerful.
And I think sometimes we think that the things, at least the way that I felt seen when I finally kind of understood my chart a little more, was that things that I had labeled wrong about myself were no longer wrong. So yes. I no longer had this guilt and shame around it. It's just like acceptance. And exactly. What a gift, right? To have some level of acceptance. It's a real gift.
Yeah. I mean, from a personal perspective, I've had several careers within careers, and, you know, starting to study things and then not following through with them. And that is so much who I am. I'm a manifesting generator with an open G center. And, you know, I'm not meant to do the same thing my whole life. I am meant to start things and maybe change tack halfway through. That's the way we learn. That's the way we manifesting generators do things that way. So now that I know that, it makes going forward so much easier because it makes me more aware of what might happen or what the implications of making decisions might be, rather than thinking, oh, yes, well, this is going to work. I go into it knowing, well, let's see if this works. So it just changes everything. It really makes a massive difference.
Yeah, for sure. So can you share with us a little about the history of human design?
Sure. Well, it hasn't actually been around for that long. It's a channeled system. It was channeled by a gentleman in Ibiza in Spain. He's a Canadian gentleman on sort of a personal sabbatical. He went to Ibiza and he was living in this rundown old cabin, and he went out for dinner one night and he came home and he describes it as being held hostage by this voice that basically imprinted him with the entire human design system over the period of 8 days and nights. And then he spent the next couple of years pulling it all together and coming up with the body graph, which is the actual human design chart, and you know, all of the information behind that. And then he started teaching people, traveling the world and teaching people. And really, it's taken a long time for it to get to the point where it is now. And certainly in the time that I've been studying human design, I've noticed probably in the last 12 months or so, there's been a really massive knowledge of it, or at least, you know, people are starting to know that it exists. Prior to that, you know, there were very few people who'd ever even heard of it. And no doubt one of the reasons for that is because it can be quite, it's very complex. Mm. It's incredibly complex.
It is. Which yeah, I think is why most of us, when we first come across it, we kind of look at it and are like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, and then put it to the side.
Exactly. Who's got time?
Yeah.
Who's got time to learn all that?
Me.
Well,
and you.
But this gentleman, whose name is Ra Uruhu, he got the information in a very specific language, and it was in English. You know, he's a Canadian who spoke English, but a lot of it is written in a very sort of archaic, biblical type voice. And that's how Ra has interpreted it. And when you listen to a lot of the things, a lot of the videos, a lot of the audios that are available to listen to, that are quite difficult to understand and to, you know, maybe overlay with, you know, your own chart. So it's taken a while. It's taken a few years to get to the point where there are people out there who have been able to take Ra's initial teachings and turn them into a language which is, you know, it's definitely not mainstream, but without wanting to sound too simplistic, to be able to make it understandable for people who don't have a lot of time on their hands to, you know, go and interpret all of his words. So that's essentially what's been going on in the last 12 to 18 months. I think there's some of us out there who've been given a mission, if you like, to reinterpret. And that's not to change. We're not changing what Ra's taught. It's just to make
translating it.
Exactly. To be able to translate it, to make it easier to understand.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes from. Yeah.
And so for you, when was the point where you were like, oh, okay, I'm going to do something with this? Once you understood your own chart?
Yeah. I think fairly early on in the proceedings, to be honest, because it got its hooks into me, and because I learned, and one of the things that human design can give you is your life purpose. And I learned that my life's purpose was to teach people about abundance through, you know, health and wellness and understanding themselves. That's kind of what my life purpose is. And so it just, you know, it's just this clink, 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 clink going on in my head thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, finally, after all these years of being in the corporate world and becoming a mother and trying to do a few things to work around my being a mother, and being a mother and looking at and nurturing my child is incredibly important to me. That's also in my chart. Finding something that would fit in with that took a long time, and then this thing came to me that, oh my gosh. And honestly, it has been a true labor of love. You know, I fell in love with it, absolutely. And yeah, it's one of those things, like I've said it already, it's imprinted itself upon me.
I think you'd have to be passionate about it to like dedicate yourself to learning, you know, because it can be really confusing. Yes. And confronting.
It can be. And I might add, you know, my human design is one that means that I don't have a fabulous memory. I don't have a fabulous capacity for storing information. And so it's a pain, but at the same time, it's one of the reasons why I understand it as well as I do, because having that design means that I have to continually learn and continually educate myself. And, you know, look at, I will have listened to, you know, teaching audios 10 times and each time got something new out of it. And that, you know, that allows me to be able to come at human design from many different perspectives, because I can see it from many different perspectives because I've learned it from many different perspectives. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, we found each other, we're happy.
A love story, a true love story. Can you talk us through the five different types there are?
Sure. So human design says that we are all, every one of us, every one of the 7.5 or so or more billion people on planet Earth are one of five different human design types. So approximately, and these numbers, you know, these percentages change slightly every day depending on who's signed up. Approximately 9% of the population are manifestors. Approximately 37% of the population are generators. I'll go back and explain what these mean in a sec. 33% of the population are manifesting generators.
Which is my husband and my daughter.
That's right, you lucky thing. And myself, yes. 20% of the population roughly are projectors like yourself, and about 1% are reflectors. So they're quite rare, obviously. And each one of those types has a particular role to play. So, you know, if you can think about the five different types, and each type has a role to play, and when we're all playing our roles properly, planet Earth, the world is doing exactly the way that it should be doing. And you might be able to assume from that perhaps not everybody is playing their role as they're supposed to be playing it at the moment, but that's a whole other story, which we probably don't have time for right now. So the manifestor, the 9%, they are the only type who are able to just do it. If they get an idea in their head, it feels right to them, they can just do it. So only 9% of us are designed to do as the Nike ad tells us, which was no doubt written by a manifestor.
Yes.
Okay, that might work for a very small percentage of us.
Then so it does, with the manifestor, does it have anything to do with the concept, the modern concept of manifesting? Are those two things related? So is a manifestor a generally better at manifesting things?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. A manifestor doesn't have to wait for anything in order to go and do something.
Okay.
If a manifestor is fully aligned and they are living according to their human design, living in alignment with their human design, they will find it easy to know what it is that they should go ahead and just do. But the other types, if they are fully aligned, they just have a different way of going about manifesting what they need. So we're all equally capable of manifesting. It's just that we all have different ways of going about it. So the manifestor can just do it. And then we have the two generator types. So there's the pure generator and the manifesting generator. The pure generator is, as I said, they're 37% of the population. They need to wait for things in their external reality before they can actually take action.
So that's something like signs?
Signs, yeah. It's exactly like signs. And signs can take the form of pretty much anything. It has to be in their external reality. It can't be something that they've dreamed. It can't be something that they've downloaded in a meditation or that's come to them in a vision. Uh-huh. It can't be something that they've just thought of, an idea that they've just had. It actually has to be, you know, as you put it, as a sign or something that shows up in their external reality. They can ask for signs, by the way. That's totally cool and totally doable. So when the sign shows up in their external reality, then they can ask themselves, and they have this way of asking themselves. Generator types have a way of being able to ask themselves if something is right for them. That, and I can go into that in a sec if you want me to.
Sure.
They then ask themselves, they say, yep, that's good, and then they go ahead and do it. The manifesting generator, manifesting generators are a little bit different to generators. They go really, really, really fast, as you know.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah, manifesting generators are the type that actually can do more than one thing at a time. And you might think if you're a pure generator, well, that's not fair. Why can't I do more than one thing at a time? But this doing more than one thing at a time does come at a payoff, and with a payoff, that is that you have to make sure that you go back and fix mistakes that you made. Because when you're going as fast as a manifesting generator goes, you have to make mistakes. It's just the way it works. So we make mistakes, we go back, we fix them. We're no faster in the end than a generator is. Manifesting generators are no faster than generators are. Generators are, you know, the steady, methodical ones that do one thing at a time. The manifesting generators are the hare and the tortoise race, and they get to the finish line at the same time. So generator types are the workers, which sounds really awful, doesn't it? It sounds like, oh.
Yeah,
if you're just one of 70,
why don't you? Sounds like, well, then you belong in the rat race kind of thing.
Yeah, but in actual fact, we're the workers, we're the doers. I say we, because I am one, but the generator types are the ones that get the work done. And that's because they have access to sustainable energy. They can keep going and going and going and going and going. They're not meant to keep going if they're not happy, and they will eventually burn themselves out if they're not happy. But if they're happy, my gosh, try and stop them. You can't. Then you've got the projector type, which is 20%, which is what Carly is.
Mm-hmm.
And projectors are the wise ones. They're here to guide. They're here to guide, manage, and direct the rest of us. And they don't have access to sustainable energy. The manifestors, by the way, the first type I just mentioned, they also don't have access to sustainable energy. Projectors are not here to know themselves. That's the bit that's not fair for you, except that you're here to know everyone else. You are wise and you know other people. You know other people just by being in their aura. And in an ideal world, my mentor says that, and I love this analogy, she says, in an ideal world, all projectors should be sitting on a purple pillow in an ashram somewhere with people coming to them and asking them for their advice, because you people are wise. You just know. And little projector kids just know stuff. And, you know, part of my dream, and I am tangenting here, I apologize, but part of my dream is to get all parents to understand what type their kids are, because if you know you've got a projector child, it's going to change the way you interact with them. It's going to change the way you listen to them, because let me tell you something, projector kids very often have very wise things to say. very valuable things to contribute to a family. So yes, that's projectors. Projectors need to wait for the invitation.
That's the other thing that can be hard.
Yes, but if a projector does wait for an invitation, if a projector aligns themselves with their projector energy, that the invitations just come and the right invitations come. Whereas if they don't wait for an invitation, if they just go off and initiate things, that's when the stuff-ups happen. That's when things don't work out. So it's all about, you know, doing what you're designed to do, waiting for an invitation. It doesn't mean you have to sit on your couch and do nothing until the invitation comes. You can be learning stuff. You know, you can be doing all sorts of things. But when it comes to the big things in life in particular, for a projector, they need to wait for an invitation. And when I say big things, I'm talking about relationships, I'm talking about career, I'm talking about moving, you know, where you actually live, those sorts of things, the big things. You do not need to wait for an invitation to do the laundry or pack the dishwasher. Or even to go out to dinner, really. I mean, if you decide you want to go out for dinner, go out for dinner. But if you're a projector and somebody, you know, wants, you want to go out with somebody to dinner, wait for them to ask you, because if you initiate an invitation, it's not going to work out very well. Then the last type is only 1% of the population, and that's the reflector. And the reflectors are very, very special, kind of delicate people. They are very open energetically. And they are here to reflect the condition of their community. So if a reflector's in a good place, if things are going right for a reflector, then that will be the same with their community because they're a reflection of their community. But if their community's not doing very well, the reflector won't be doing very well. So 1% of the population are reflectors, and we all would know a reflector. We don't necessarily know who they are. Of course, we don't know who they are, but they're out there and they're looking after us and they're cleaning up the energy and they're keeping things nice for us. So we all have our role. You know, the manifestors are here to initiate. The generators are here to get things done. The projectors are here to be wise and to guide, manage and direct the rest of us. And the reflectors are here to let us know how we're getting on.
So with a reflector, so I've just got this image of my head of like Lindsay Lohan for some reason, mm-hmm. where like are reflectors easily, you know, become drug addicts or things like that due to the state of society or not really?
Not normally. No, reflectors, Lindsay's not a reflector. I can't remember what she is, but I know she's not a reflector. A reflector that was in Lindsay's life would be reflecting her, like there'd be elements of her, especially if they were very close to her, that would not be doing very well. There would be elements of them that weren't doing very well. Sandra Bullock's a reflector. Okay. Who would have thought? Okay. Yeah. But you listen to a reflector talk and they are very, they take their time to answer questions. They actually take a full lunar cycle to make decisions. So if you think you got it hard waiting for an invitation, they can't say yes to anything until they've gone through the whole lunar cycle. And there's very good reasons for that. But it's a challenge, you know, for them to be in that situation. There's a lot of arguments to say, and I say this, I preface this with there's a lot of argument to suggest that Michael Jackson was a reflector because they don't actually know his time of birth. He's a very, very open projector if he's not a reflector, but I've heard a lot of people who've done energetic work to determine his time of birth who suggest that he's a reflector, and I think he's a great example of what a reflector would look like because he was definitely reflecting his community, wasn't he? I mean, when things were going well for Michael, he was, you know, on top of it all. And when things weren't going well for him, it ended up very sadly. So, yeah. And even a lot of his songs, you know, that Man in the Mirror. Mm. I mean,
my favorite song.
I'm a reflector, right? He's basically written the song that says, I'm a reflector.
Mm.
So, and we've gone way deep on reflectors here in this conversation. You know, they're a tiny proportion, but they're so important. I'd love to get in touch with more reflectors. I'd love to speak with more reflectors. I love speaking to everybody and anybody about the human design. But because reflectors are so rare, I'm always more than happy to chat with people who are reflectors, just chat.
Yeah. And so what's needed? What do people need in order to do a chart?
As you said, there's plenty of places on the internet where you can get a free chart, and by all means do that, but please don't be put off by human design if you do that, because that's what can happen.
It's like getting a PDF of like a map of your body with a whole bunch of little lines on it and going, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, exactly. And at the risk of self-promotion, you can definitely pop onto my website, which is findyournaturalgroove.com, one word. And if you go onto the human design tab and you click down to the middle line of that, you'll find get a free human design chart. So I'll actually run your chart for you, and I'll send you an email and tell you what type you are, and I'll send you a copy of my ebook, which talks about the five types in a bit more depth than we've had time to now. And it's just a little bit more user friendly to do it that way. But if you don't want to go to that trouble, by all means, there's plenty of places where you can get a free chart. It's not hard.
Yeah, totally. So let's, before you mentioned about the projectors waiting for an invite, and who was the other one that you mentioned about waiting for a sign? Is that?
Yeah, that's the generator types.
What was the manifestor?
They just can do it.
Oh, they can just do it. Yeah.
Yeah, they can initiate action. So it sounds like it's not fair, but let me tell you, it's not easy to be a manifestor because everything has to line up for them. You know, if it's not lining up for them, it's not going to work. And they do sometimes have to go through this, you know, the spaghetti throwing at the wall thing where they will do things and they won't work out. But once they sort of work out who they are and understand the signs within them that tell them that something is right, they're going to get a much, much higher success rate. But, yeah, they're the ones that can just initiate.
Yeah. Okay, so I just wanted to explore my own chart a little bit because I feel like this will highlight why I felt so seen when I read it. And for me, I think the first thing was finding out I was a projector and then hearing that I had to wait for the invitation. Because if you and my audience are very well versed in my backstory, but if you just think back to my backstory, it's full of there's a trail of failure behind me of projects that I initiated without waiting for an invitation. So many that I can't even count them all, but the Office Collective. I didn't wait for an invitation. I just had the idea and ran as fast as I could to make it happen before somebody else stole the idea, which is so weird. And from there, like so many other projects. And then if we think about the things that have worked for me, my mastermind, which I was invited to by Lisa, to create together.
Yeah.
The podcast that we create together, Keeping Good Company, that was an invitation from Lisa. And if I think about the things that have really worked for me, they have been things that I have been invited to. So I guess that's what felt so amazing for me was like, oh, so maybe it wasn't all down to just my shortcomings. Maybe there was something bigger to play here.
Absolutely. And the thing is, and yeah, obviously there are five different types here, but if we talk specifically about the projector type, it's about getting your energy into alignment with whatever it is that is coming your way, with whatever the invitation is that it's coming your way. And so who's to say that the Office Collective wouldn't have worked out had you not sat with it for a bit longer and waited for an invitation? It's just amazing how these invitations can materialize when you are sitting in the right energy. And I'm sure the projectors amongst your audience will have examples of that having happened to them, where invitations have just come out of the blue for no particular reason that have been absolutely perfect. And by the way, just because you get an invitation when you're a projector does not mean you have to accept it. You might not want to. It might not feel right. Being in the right energy, being in the right frame of mind, you're sending a message out with your energy that gets heard by the right people, but gets heard by the universe and transferred into whatever it needs to be transferred into, come back to you as an invitation. If it's right for you. And if it's not right for you, it won't come back as an invitation, and don't feel bad about it because it was never right for you in the first place.
Yep. So when you get your chart right, there's like all of these little boxes and then a whole bunch of lines that kind of attach from box to box. Can you explain, like, it kind of looks like a weird chakra system?
Yeah, it does. So human design is actually based on five esoteric sciences. It's Eastern Western astrology, the Hindu chakra system, the Jewish Kabbalah, and the Chinese I Ching. And as you rightly pointed out, it kind of looks, the boxes, which are the energy centers, are based around the chakra system. So that's kind of where that bit comes from. When Ra channeled the system, he was given all of these different elements and to put together. And so, yeah, there's nine energy centers because the heart chakra is actually broken down into two energy centers, and the solar plexus chakra is also broken down into two energy centers. But for all intents and purposes, the rest of it matches up with the chakras. And whether or not you are – so where you are colored in this body graph / human design chart that you'll get if you sign up, where you're colored in is where you're defined. And where you're defined is where you have consistent energy. So you actually have consistent energy in particular energy centers, unless you're a reflector. Reflectors have nothing colored in terms of the energy centers. But most of us, 99% of us, have at least two energy centers colored in, and that's where we're defined, and that's the truth of who we are. Yeah. Everywhere else is where we're able to be conditioned.
Yeah, so you've got your five different types, right, which form, I guess, the basis of who you are. And then you, on top of that, you've got all of these, this other stuff going on, defined centers, non-defined centers, and then gates going between them, which all come together to make the puzzle up of who you are, right?
Yeah, right. So you've got the nine energy centers, there's 64 gates, there's about 34 channels, I say about, it's 34 channels, which are extensions of the gates. There's six lines in each of the 64 channels. There's 12 different personality types. It's incredibly nuanced. Yeah, you can actually even go down even further than that, but that's really getting into kind of ridiculous nitty-gritty and totally not necessary. But there is so much information in a human design chart. I mean, you can talk for hours and hours about how the energies work and how they interplay with one another, and also how they interplay with other human design charts, with other people. You know, in terms of a family dynamic, understanding each other's human design makes a massive difference. I know in my own personal situation, my my beautiful daughter, she's just turned 11. She is highly, highly sensitive. And probably for the first 7 years of her life, I found that really difficult to accept because I'm not. I mean, I have areas of sensitivity, but not like her. You know, she's sensitive to pain. She's sensitive to taste. She's sensitive to other people's energies like you wouldn't believe. She cries so easily. Once I understood her human design, I totally get her. It's changed her relationship and it's changed our relationship, hands down, no question. But it's also changed her because now she feels seen. She feels understood. She knows that even if they don't get her at school, and they do a little bit because this kid's got this crazy mother that won't, you know, it's like a dog at a bone with a teacher. Because I can, because I know who my daughter is. I'm so sure I know who my daughter is. But, yeah, she knows I've got her back, and that makes her life so much easier.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So looking at my chart,
Getting back to you again.
Yeah, yeah, always. It's all
no, no. We were talking about you. I tend
to. No. But I just wanted to know, like, from a high level perspective, when you look at my chart, what stands out the most?
Your voice, the fact that you have a very defined voice. You speak with leadership. You have this ability to bring people together. You see skills in people. You're a listener. You're great at listening. You're a channeler. You channel information. and I have this energy too. And it's a very cool energy actually, because when you've got a memory like mine, and actually you've got a pretty good memory, but mine's crazy. It doesn't remember a thing. A lot of the information when I'm doing a session comes straight through me. It's the same with you. It's a channeling ability. You don't know where the information's come from, but you know that it's bigger than you are. And I think that's a really important thing. So you're speaking from a very definite place. You know, your throat is defined. You also know who you are. You absolutely know who you are, and you speak about who you are. I mean, honestly, the first thing that shows up is that you're a projector, but we know that. We know that you don't have a huge amount of spare energy. You know, we know that there's only a certain amount of energy that you have to give, and that's how 30% of the population are. 31% of the population are like that. They only have a certain amount of energy to give. I can tell from you that you're incredibly intuitive and that you speak from an intuitive perspective. Okay, so a lot of the stuff, it's one thing to be able to channel stuff. It's another thing to be definitely, and by definitely I mean defined, you are defined intuitively. So you know exactly what it is that you're going to say. Now, I just want to clarify something and say that we are all, each and every one of us, intuitive. It's just that some of us are intuitive on 100 channels. And some of us, and that can be really confusing. And it's a matter of kind of wrangling those channels. And that's one of the things that human design helps you with, is to work out how you're intuitive. For you, you actually know how you're intuitive because of the definition in your chart, and I can see that from your chart. Yeah, and you know the fact that you are so much into the detail. You just love detail. You can't help yourself. You know, there's no light and fluffy with Carly. It's going to be, I need to know. I need to know the nitty-gritty. When I do something, I've got to make sure I've dotted my I's and crossed my T's. That's the way that you operate. There's so much in here. Oh, the other thing, I'll tell you what about your chart is that you're here to provoke us. You are here to provoke us into seeing who we really are. Okay, you're here to I use the analogy of, you know, the glass of water that's really, really full and you can't fit anything else into the glass of water. You're so stuck. You can't fit anything else in. Carly comes along, sticks her finger into the glass of water and the water goes everywhere, but you're flowing again. You know, you're here to help us to flow.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing that shows up for you.
So there was another thing that I felt like, because I mean, anyone who knows me from, particularly from, the podcast or the Show Up Speak Up community knows that like that actually is who I am. You know, no word of a lie. Like my free flow combos are me channeling on the beach. The people in my community, if they're struggling, sometimes I'll jump on a call with them and stick my finger in their glass. You know, yeah. It is absolutely who I am. One thing that stood out to me when I was kind of looking into my chart was that I had a line of struggle.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I giggle because I have that one as well. I have that way up high in my chart, and you do too. It's called the Gate of Struggle. But I've actually come to love it. And that's another thing, you know, really understanding human design has made such a difference for me, because this particular gate that you're referring to, we all have all of the energies in the chart. So every single person has struggle, okay, as part of their life. But those of us who have struggle defined are here to use that struggle. We're here to teach others about struggle, to teach others about how to do things using the struggles that we've been through. So we're often the ones that take the windy path. You know, we don't take the highway straight to where we want to go. We often take the back roads that, you know, get lost a couple of times. And we like to struggle to get things done. But it's in that struggle that we get so much knowledge and information that we are then able to use to teach others. And it's very much a teaching gate, that gate of struggle. So don't love your struggle, Carly. Love your struggle.
Oh, I do.
I learned to love mine.
I do. I mean, it's been the biggest gift to me is my struggles. And yeah, and I feel like that has been, you know, perhaps back when I first looked at the chart, I didn't relate because I wasn't necessarily living very aligned to it. But when I found it the second time, I feel like I had embraced a lot more of who I really am. And so when I heard when I read it and when I had my reading with you, it was just like, yes, yes,
yeah,
yes, you know, and I think perhaps beforehand, I was trying to avoid the struggle and, you know, not accepting what I knew was really my purpose, which was to speak and to share and to guide.
Yeah.
And absolutely. The more that I understand that now, particularly having, you know, immersed myself into human design a bit, the more that I understand myself, the more that I can allow myself to really live out my purpose.
Oh, it gives you permission, doesn't it?
Yeah. Which is so ironic because I feel like that's what I'm here to do, to give others permission. human design gives me permission.
No, well, of course you are, but you also need, sometimes we need permission ourselves. And if we're not living out our purpose, if we're not doing what we were put here to do, then we're not the only ones that are missing out, are we? I mean, the whole world's missing out, and that's not fair. It's not right and it's not fair. We have to do what we were put here to do. Otherwise, life's going to be difficult for a start. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be joyous. It's not going to be what it's supposed to be. But other people are going to miss out as well. So we're not doing our bit. And the other thing about human design, one of the other many things about human design that I've really appreciated is that it's taught me that there's beauty in getting older in a real sense. And I know, you know, we spend a lot of our time trying to tell ourselves that, you know, ageism's not a thing anymore, and of course it is. But the fact of the matter is that the chart shows you that at various points in your life, I mean, turning turning 40 is big in the human design chart. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't actually kick in until you turn 40. But then there's even more stuff that doesn't kick in until you're in around 50. It kicks in around 50. So according to human design, you're not really a grown-up until you get to 50.
Cool, so, I still got a little while to go.
No, it's cool. It's so cool to know that there is a reason why, you know, I'm 53 and there is a reason why I have felt like a kid all my life until the last few years. I finally feel like a grown-up and that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have the wisdom of the chart prior to that time as well. I probably would have looked at it differently had I known, but it's lovely to know that it's still all ahead of me.
Yeah, for sure. What do you hope for where human design is going? What's your like big dream in this space?
My big dream is that every single new parent, when they're in the birthing room, wherever that happens to be, gets handed a copy of their child's their newborn's human design chart and a date for sometime in the next month to have a session, to have a reading with a human design specialist so that they know who that child is. And it'll take a while, but the time will come when that finally happens where everybody will know who they are and what they came here to do. And the world will be amazing then. And that's my dream. I mean, I want everybody to know this stuff. I want everybody to understand the beauty of knowing who they are, because it's big.
Yeah, totally.
It's really big.
And I think that's the gift that it's given me, is I spent so long trying to figure this out, even though I think I already knew who I was, but I just didn't know, like I had no idea what I was here for, really. It's been a process, but what human design gave me was clear permission to be who I am and do things in a different way, which has led me to some crazy places, like dumping my email list and, you know, like doing some pretty bold out there things and just the way that I interact with people has changed recently, where I was always someone who wanted to give the answers, and now I know to wait for an invitation. And that sometimes can be really frustrating for me, but if I want that person to hear what I've got to say, then an invitation has to happen. Otherwise, I'm just going blue in the face saying the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah,
and it's like literally they can't hear me. So it saves my energy of, you know, being on the, like a treadmill, almost like a mouse thing.
And your energy is so precious.
Yeah.
You have to. Yeah. And all projectors and open sacral people, their energy is so precious.
Yeah. And I guess that's another gift too, right? Because now I kind of knew that because I get tired very easily and just get a bit like, run down. And so it gave me permission to, I had been doing some things like walking on the beach, taking time out for me, but it just gave me more permission. And then hopefully you can communicate that to the people around you. And if they're on board and they understand their design, then they'll understand why two nights a week I sleep in the spare room, or why, you know, sometimes I need to go away for a weekend and lock myself in a cabin with no one around. It makes not only you understand you better, but hopefully the people around you.
Yeah. And, you know, burnt out projectors are very thick on the ground. There's way too many burnt out projectors, to a much lesser extent manifestors. Manifestors don't burn out quite as easily. They do. They absolutely do burn out. We can all burn out. Generators can burn out too. But projectors are the ones that are really they're really susceptible to burnout. And it usually happens around about 35 because they're so bloody smart. Their bosses make them, you know, keep promoting them.
Take it on. Story of my life.
Exactly. And they get promoted to the point where they just can't do it anymore and they're working 18 hours a day and then they crash and, you know, they get some nasty autoimmune disease or chronic fatigue syndrome, whatever it happens to be, and they're stuck on the couch for the next 2 years. And society does not understand that not everybody is built to work all the time. And it's seen as this badge of honor that you work 70 hours a week. It's only a badge of honor if you're working 70 hours a week doing a job you love. It doesn't matter what type you are. So, yeah, that my dream is that everybody understands who they are from the time they're a tiny little kid able to take instruction.
Yeah. I think, you know, as human beings, I don't know if it's all different designs, but from what I can tell, pretty much everyone wants to feel seen. And this is a tool to allow that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I mean, I've done all the work on my own chart, but, you know, I feel seen by myself. Mm. And that's such a gift.
Yeah, because it always has to come from self first.
Yeah, it is. Because, you know, the whole self-love thing, we're told that we need to love ourselves. And, you know, it's really hard to love yourself if you're constantly being told to be something that you're not. So when you know who you are, that's when you fall in love with yourself because you see who you are and you see yourself for your strength and your abilities and your wisdom. And that's when the magic happens. That's when you say, I know who I am and I really like that person because it feels good to me. And I love that person and that person's me.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
If you go onto that website, www.findyournaturalgroove.com, go to the Human Design tab. There's three drop downs. The first one is the page where you'll find all the details about having a human design session with me, having me read your human design chart. So everything's there. It tells you, you know, what human design's all about. It tells you what to expect in a session and all the prices and things are there. You can just get your chart done if you like. It won't
highly have recommend any
touch it. Yes. Yes. As we're recording this podcast, Carly mentioned that one of her family friends, their little boy, is going through a very, very hard time at the moment, as is the whole family, and they're looking for ways to crowdsource some extra funds to help with his treatment. And I would really like to, if it's of any help, I would like to give 20% of any session price for anyone who books through this particular podcast. I'll give Carly a link, and if it'll be, I think we'll make it Ryder. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, so it's R-Y-D-E-R.
Yes, but I'll get that up very soon so that if you actually book a human design session for me, any one of the human design sessions that I have on offer, and I do family sessions, I do individual sessions, I can do relationship sessions if you want me to, I can tailor anything you like. If you already know human design and you've had a session with someone else, but maybe you want a bit of a brush up or you want to hear my take on it, that's fine too. I can tailor anything. I would be my honour to donate 20% of that fee to this particular fund for Ryder.
That would be so amazing.
I can't even begin to imagine what that might be like. And if I were in that position, I'd like to know that people were on my side.
Yeah. So for those who aren't in my Show Up Speak Up group, a good friend of mine from school has a little boy who's a few weeks younger than Mabel. And he has a very rare form of cancer, which I'll probably cry talking about. But they have been accepted into a trial in the States and need to raise about $250,000 to $300,000 Australian dollars to get him there. And the type of cancer that he has is, I mean, his treatment has been super aggressive. He's had 7 rounds of chemo so far. He has 12 to 18 months of radiation and immunotherapy to come, and it's recurring. So there's, even after all of this work, there's no guarantee. And it just, as a mother, it just breaks your heart. I just can't. She's a single mum and she's also self-employed. And so for anyone who, I'm just so grateful, Roz, because anything that can help get this kid closer to the treatment that he needs, is amazing. So thank you.
It's such a pleasure. It's my honour.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for letting me do that.
No worries. And thank you so much for sharing everything today. It's been so lovely to have you on, and I'm so excited to share this because I have no doubt the last year of my life has been transformative, and it has been a big part to understanding how I work and to giving myself permission to be seen by myself, but also not to beat myself up for all the things that I'm not. Mm-hmm. And that has been huge for me. So, thank you so much for introducing me or reintroducing me to Human Design, and for your amazing reading and for the time that we've spent together today. I really appreciate it.
Ah, thanks, Carly. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into Carlosophies. If you really dug this app, I'd love for you to share it with someone who you think might also dig it. Really helps me to spread the word. And if you'd like to get to know me a little better and see some in-between app thoughts and insights and be around some super cool people, join my Facebook tribe, Show Up Speak Up. Search Show Up Speak Up in Facebook or head to carlynimmo.com/tribe. Until next time, be real, be rad. Peace out.